Well, agree with me in prayer that the Lord will open up the right words so that what the Lord showed me today would come to life and bring freedom. Because that's my goal, is to release freedom into the people of God so that they can receive what God has prepared. I'm going to kind of guide you through a little booklet that I read many years ago. Close to 30 years. I want to give you a heads up about what happens when you are constantly aware of your sin. If you're constantly focused on sin consciousness, do not expect anything from God. You know why? Because your thinking is off track. Sin consciousness can be traced to the reason for practically every spiritual failure. It destroys faith. It destroys the initiative in the heart. Did you hear me? It gives a man an inferiority complex. So when you're thinking of yourself as inferior and absolutely unacceptable to God, don't try to see why you're not getting your healing or your deliverance. Because you're coming to God with an inferiority complex. Well, if I wasn't guilty of anything, I wouldn't have all these feelings. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus did already wipe your slate clean. Now, if you haven't got that inside your heart yet, you better start studying some scriptures. So you'll get God's opinion of you instead of your emotional status about yourself. Some people are so distraught because when you're afraid of God, you can't get anything from him. He's not a God with a big stick. Jesus took care of that big stick. What did he do with that stick? Huh? He took it to the cross. Yes. All of the hatred, the anxiety, the animosity that you see in the Old Testament was completely annihilated by the blood of the Lamb when he was on that cross. Okay? When you're afraid of God, you're also afraid of yourself. You are ever searching to find someone who can pray the prayer of faith. You have no sense of your own legal rights to stand in the Father's presence without condemnation. So if you have these emotions, there are solutions. But they are real. I'm not trying to tell you the emotions aren't real. They're very real. The thought patterns and the accusing voices will continue, and you will think that you're absolutely unable to receive from God. The inferiority complex that is bred of sin consciousness is faced everywhere in the church. It has been said to me many times, if I could get rid of this sin consciousness, I'd get my healing. I'd be a power for God. But I can't get rid of it. Has God provided a redemption that cures this sin disease? I'm sure he has. If he hasn't planned to take it out of man during his earth walk, man can never stand right before God because redemption work is only in this age. So don't expect that you're going to be able to change things when you get to the other side. Oh, when I'm dead, I'm going to be okay. Baloney. That's the biggest crock of lies that you could ever believe. You're here now. You're here now to do a work for him, but you're also a work in progress. And if you're still walking around with sin consciousness, then you need some help. And you need to get rid of it. Because, okay, churchianity is probably the best way I can say it. Will constantly put guilt on people so that they will be what? Manipulated. So, here goes. God has made provision to make a new creation. He has planned to impart his own nature to him, taking out the old sin nature and replacing it with his own nature. This will destroy sin consciousness. So when you acknowledge that you're a new creation, the old is dead, did you have it? Yes. Have you got the new creation? Yes. But if you're debating between the two, which is real for you, what are you sitting on? A scale, trying to balance out, trying to perform. Well, if I could only get my act together, then God would heal my heel. He would heal me. He would set me free. So religion says, well, maybe we should leave them this way. Watch. Few theologians have recognized the fact that sin consciousness is the parent of practically all human religion. Man has sought to heal this awful disease. The sense of unworthiness destroys faith, robs us of our peace of mind, makes ineffectual the most earnest and zealous prayer life. You say, well, if I learned all these things by heart, then I will be free. I've got news for you. You can learn till you go green and think you're a creation from Mars. It's in your head, but it won't be in your heart. If it's not in here, it's someone else's opinion that you're trying to incorporate on yourself. So who's the only one that can put it in there? The Lord. The Lord is the one that can put it in there. You know, it robs, this sin consciousness robs us of fellowship and communion with the Father. And our theologians, since Luther, have never found a cure for this condition. The holiness people have attempted bravely to meet this issue, but so far they have never been able to permanently cure a patient. Man's cure has been repentance of sin, sorrow for sins, and deep agony and prayer. I remember being told by a counselor one time, well, Tim, you've got to pray, and you've got to fast, and you've got to cry out to God, and you lock yourself into a room, and you do all these things, and guess what? I was going to be a human doing, not a human being. If you want to be a human doing, keep on working, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to get very tired, and you will not receive healing. Because you're trying to do it on your own. And guess what? Man's works will what? What happens with man's works? They're going to get burned up. Amen? Others have tried to quit their conscious or quiet their conscious by going to church, doing repentance, fasting, giving money, saying prayers, doing good deeds, giving up pleasure, confessing their sins, fighting bad habits, putting themselves under discipline of self-denial and self-abasement by neglecting the body. Some had even gone so far as to lacerate their bodies. Others have taken long pilgrimages. All these methods have been tried. Every earnest spirit has attempted some of them. A new movement has just arisen in which men and women are finding temporary relief in confessing their sins to one another. Woo! Well, Scripture says to do that, right? Watch. Confessing sins may bring temporary relief from the pressure that is upon them, but no works of any kind, whether they be works of self-abnegation, repentance, penance, saying of prayers, or self-denial, can rid the heart of sin consciousness. Notice, rid the heart. It's not ridding the brain. You can do surgery up here, take your head off, and I'll tell you, some people go to heaven by the skin of their teeth. And they're going to be so less than they could have been if they would have awakened to the fact that God wants to do the whole work himself. There are two kinds of sin consciousness. One is the man who has never been born again. The other is the undeveloped or underdeveloped believer. one who has never grown beyond the state of babyhood, doesn't know his rights and privileges in Christ. Where is the difficulty? It is this. The natural man is a sinner. But he is more than that. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, better if you're writing it down, look it up. 2 Corinthians 6:14. He is called iniquity. In other places, he is called sin. He is more than a transgressor. He is more than a violator of the law. He is by nature a child of wrath. He is spiritually dead. He is united with Satan as the believer is united with God. The believer has become a partaker of God's nature. The natural man is a partaker of Satan's nature. God's cure. The problem is, how can God legally deal with the sin problem and the sin problem? How can he deal with this satanic nature that is in man? Here's the cure. God has wrought a redemption that covers every phase of man's need, perfectly restores his fellowship with the Father, so that there is no sense of guilt or sin, no memory of past wrongdoings. Say, oh, wow! The believer stands complete in Christ. He has partaken of the fullness of God in Christ, meaning the corporate body. John chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace." Try that one on for size. Say, the answer is John 1, 16. I have received the fullness of Christ, and it is mine, along with grace, upon grace, until I'm saturated. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Verse 1 through 19, carefully, you will see that under the first covenant, there was a remembrance made of sin year by year. But in the new covenant, a man who has accepted Jesus Christ loses the sense of sin. Did you hear that? He loses the sense of sin and in its place receives a sense of his oneness and fellowship with his Father. A sense of oneness and fellowship with my Father. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who delivers us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption and the remission of our sins. Did you hear that? So you need to make a note. Colossians 1. 13 and 14. Say, I've been delivered out of the authority of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in which I have redemption and the remission of my sins. That's yesterday's sins. Today's and tomorrow's. If I'm free, and I've got money in the bank, and I'm out of jail, why should my mentality keep me in jail? But if I still feel with that condemnation, and I still agree that I'm a sinner instead of a saint, what am I doing? I'm canceling what Jesus has done. I am saying he didn't do enough. Notice in this scripture that he delivered us out of the authority of darkness. He did the work, not you. That is Satan's dominion, and at the same time translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Translation means you're no longer in that country. Amen? There are four facts here. First, we are delivered out of Satan's dominion. Second, we are born into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Number three, the third is, in whom we have our redemption. That is a redemption from Satan's dominion. Satan has no regal right on you to reign over the man who has accepted Christ as his Savior. That man has been delivered out of Satan's dominion, Satan's family, and Satan's authority. He has been born into the family of God, the kingdom of the Son of His love. When this was done, the redemption work that Christ wrought became a reality. Fourth, He not only redeems us out of Satan's dominion, there is also a remission of our sins. He redeemed us, He recreates us, He delivers us out of Satan's authority. He remits all that I have ever done and all that I ever will do. I want you to put your Bible down or your notepad. And I want you to stand up. Say Colossians 1 will become a reality for me tonight. I'm going to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God is doing a work in me tonight. I won't walk out of here like I walked in. Put your right hand over your heart. Close your eyes. Say, that word is truth for me tonight. He delivered me out of the authority of darkness. He translated me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And I have redemption and the remission of all my sin. I'm redeemed. I'm recreated. The old is dead. And He delivered me out of Satan's authority. And He has remitted. Erased. And even forgotten. All my sin. So I'm asking You now, Lord, that all this reality is created with a new awareness that I can come to Papa. Just like my earthly dad, I can run into his lap. I can crawl on his legs and say, Daddy, do You love me? And he'll say yes right away. Without reservation. Because I was a sinner. But now I'm a saint. I'm being perfected. Every day. By the grace. And more grace. And even more grace. As much as I can handle. Or believe for. Thank You, Jesus. And now, Father, I can choose to receive My healing. Not out of performance. But out of trust. Of what Jesus did on that cross. Just for me. Hallelujah. Just for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. But He did it for me. Because He loved me first. And now I'm learning to keep the lights on. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen.